Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, it's fundamental things, man. We got to look at ourselves and own it. And obviously, you know, we got to be committed to making whatever changes necessary in an effort to improve the outcome. And it's as simple as that.
Mike Tomlin willing to make whatever changes necessary to get out of this skid. Does that mean benching Cam Sutton and playing Beanie Bishop? That would be one of the first things that I would do. Because it's pretty apparent with, I had Nick Faribault on last week and all the film breakdown that he did from Penn Live saying that Cam Sutton in so many different packages and defensive categories is just not being able to communicate well enough, is not covering well enough. And a lot of the times, fingers are being pointed at Cam Sutton, and Cam Sutton is walking away from plays, either missing tackles or not in the right position to make plays. So the situation's the clinch for the Steelers. They still have a chance at the AFC North, but it's probably of the slimmest of margins, Sean. Baltimore, and the line has just moved within the last half an hour, started the day as 18-point favorites against Cleveland. The Ravens are now 18.5-point favorites against the Browns. Cleveland, who is 3-13, but oddly enough, two of their wins are against the Steelers and the Ravens. And their other win is against, I think, a joke of a Jacksonville team this year that's completely fallen on its face. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson against Lamar Jackson, don't be kidding yourself. Baltimore is going to win the division. The Steelers had this perfectly in their grasp where if they would have beat the Ravens, they could have even just sat starters in this game because of what Houston's record is. And they could have either been facing Baltimore, but Baltimore would have probably been the number one wild card. They'd be preparing to play the Chargers in this game. If the Steelers do win the division, they will play against the Chargers, but they've completely lost control of their fate.
And the Browns are kind of incentivized to lose this game anyway, yeah. Right? I mean, so I don't know. I know that things changed a little bit yesterday with the Giants winning and I think what the Raiders won yesterday. So two teams that could have gotten the first overall pick. I'm not sure where Cleveland currently sits there, but there's no teams that have fewer losses than them. So they would really benefit from another loss here, potentially boosting their potential to get one of the top few picks. So it's pretty much set in stone. It would be one of the biggest upsets in recent memory. However, wasn't it, maybe 3 years ago that Houston won a game where they would have had the number one pick had they lost the final game of the season?
It's so happened.
Sometimes weird things do happen, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case here.
Talk about winning but losing in the end. The New York Giants, I mean, really? Giants, they win. They're now 3-13. And with their strength of schedule being what it is the highest of the three-win teams, they now would go to the fourth pick after having the number one overall pick. Drew Lock and the Giants, with their victory, basically maybe could have screwed up that franchise for the future, where New England now has the number one pick. Tennessee will pick two, so the Browns would pick third. If everything stays the same and it's chalk, no trades at the top of the draft order, Cleveland is going to draft their next quarterback. Because I think we all believe that it's Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward at the top of the draft. And if that's the case, New England is going to take Travis Hunter. If they make him a two-way guy.
Or they will make a trade.
Well, that's the thing. If it stays the same, which I don't think it will. I think New England will probably trade off of the pick if everything stays the same as it is right now. Either they'll pick Travis Hunter or they'll trade off. Tennessee's going to take a quarterback. I mean, Will Levis, they've already benched him for Mason Rudolph. There's no answers there.
They'll get Malik Willis back maybe, huh?
Yeah. Went 2-0 with Green Bay. Cleveland's going to take probably Cam Ward or Sanders. It's probably going to be Ward, who I think is a little bit overrated and, again, is one of those older quarterbacks in college. Bo Nix has looked pretty good. Michael Penix has looked pretty good. Maybe Cleveland is just a year late and a dollar short.
This is actually going to turn out, I think, in the long run to be one of the better quarterback classes that we've seen in a long time. And obviously, one of the guys, J.J. McCarthy, we haven't seen play at all. I don't even know if he's going to get a chance anytime soon. But, you know, all the other rookies, I think, have been pretty good, right? Now that we're seeing Penix play well, Drake May, even though it's been a really tough season for New England, has given them reason to believe that they have their quarterback.
There's no one around him in New England.
Yeah,
their roster is probably the worst in the NFL.
Obviously, Jaden Daniels continues to cement himself. He's basically replicated and maybe surpassed what Stroud did a couple years ago. And even though it's kind of spiraling out of control in Chicago, you've seen enough from Caleb Williams to at least say that this is probably going to be worst case, a slightly above average starting quarterback, and maybe even better than that in the long run.
Yeah.
So it's really great quarterback class, which probably means next year's will not be nearly as good. It's just, it would be almost unprecedented to have two really strong classes back to back for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you think about that class a couple years ago with Herbert, Tua, and Burrow, and there wasn't, Jordan Love was in that class later on in the first round. We're starting to see where it's really good class, whole bunch of nothing, really good class, whole bunch of nothing. Because wasn't it, it was that class, and then not too long after was the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis class.
Yeah, that was the wrong year for the Steelers to take a quarterback in that draft.
And then you get this past year's draft, which looks like there's at least four really good quarterbacks that are coming from it. I don't think McCarthy is going to be anything. They should stick with Sam Darnold.
I was thinking that's a fascinating decision that they will have, because I know you've mentioned Darnold as a guy you think the Steelers maybe should target.
I think that they should target Sam Darnold.
I don't see any way that Minnesota just moves on from him, though. They have to find some way. That said, if you have a quarterback you just drafted and like very highly, could you bring Darnold back on a short term? I think he's probably going to require 4 years minimum. I don't think he would agree to it. Two-year deal to stay in Minnesota.
Probably. He's more than likely going to be maybe a three-year deal worth around $40 million a year. But isn't that something where you're going to probably have to pay Russell Wilson about $35?
So I think Darnold should get at least that, because you go back to, albeit a terrible contract, Daniel Jones did a lot less, and he got $40 million a year. What was that? Almost 5 years ago now. So, I mean, the standard is almost becoming into the $50 millions. I think there's enough reason for Darnold not to get $50 million, because he had only done it this season, really, and obviously he had a lot of years where he struggled or
he's
just didn't play much. But I think he clearly gets into the $40 million range, and again, I don't see him taking a 1 or 2 year deal. This is his chance. I think he's going to probably want four.
Well, let me ask you this then. What makes you think he's going to get more than the Baker Mayfield contract at 3 years and $100 million that Baker signed with Tampa Bay not long ago? Because Baker had more of a proven track record. He won a playoff game in Pittsburgh against the arch rival Steelers for Cleveland, and they shipped him out of town, went to Carolina. That didn't work. It didn't work with the Rams in the short stint that he had. I mean, he did prove himself a little bit so that he could get over to Tampa Bay and make that contract that he did after he was playing for the injured Matt Stafford. I love Sam Darnold. I would like to see how Sam Darnold would fit in this system. He's a much better fit with Minnesota. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But I think he has the traits to be a guy who could really work in Pittsburgh with a couple more weapons around him. But I don't think that he should command that much more than the Baker deal. I know that the money, just the way that it works, somebody's going to get more and more money depending on what year it is, and the more money that just continues to get added up, etc. But Baker proved more than Sam Darnold did in this 1 year.
I agree, and that's why I think if you ask just about anyone around the league, they would actually say that Baker deal is a bargain for the Buccaneers. It really, I think of the quarterbacks who signed for $50+ million, man, it was a big risk for a lot of those guys, right? Had Trevor Lawrence shown enough to prove that he was a guy that deserved whatever he got, $52, $55 million? Jordan Love was basically going on 1 year of pretty good play. It's a lot of these teams are taking massive risks that if it backfires, pretty much torpedoes their chance for the next 3 or 4 years to have a successful run. We saw that happen with the Giants. They took a big gamble, hoping that Jones would replicate and maybe improve upon that one really good year. It didn't happen, but every team is so needy that I feel like someone, if not Minnesota, will pay 40 plus per year for Darnold on a long-term deal.
And the way that Kevin O'Connell was looking at Sam Darnold being raised up by his teammates at the end of the game that we saw post-game on the, I think it was the CBS shot, that just makes me think that he's not going anywhere. Plus the report that's come out in the last couple of days. Up until a couple of days ago, it was radio silence that Minnesota was not really in any contract talks with Darnold or considering bringing him back. But as of yesterday, they want to bring him back. So that might be something that's ruled out with the Steelers. But currently, they still have a shot at the AFC North. I don't think anybody thinks that it's going to actually happen that way. But the Steelers will know going into the game against Cincinnati if the division is still on the line. So if the Steelers beat, so let's say Baltimore wins. If the Steelers beat Cincinnati, they're the 5 seed, and they will go to Houston and play against the Texans. Now, if the Steelers lose and the Chargers win, the Chargers are the 5 seed, and the Steelers now will fall to the 6 seed, and they would play against the Ravens. So it begs the question that some people have asked on Twitter, and we can ask it at 412-928-9370, and it's already been asked on the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And as we hit the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, you're going to know if the division is on the line, and you're not going to have a bye, regardless. If you're the Steelers, and you lose out on the division, and you go into the game against Cincinnati, do you rest some players? Just T.J. Watt, I don't think, is 100%. Would you sit T.J. Watt out? Would you sit Joey Porter Jr., who was banged up in the Baltimore game and did not play in the Chiefs game? I would not do that. I want to go all out to be able to play against Houston. I don't want to go back to Baltimore in the first round of the playoffs because I think the Steelers would be one and done in that situation. And I know that we talked so much about the history with the Steelers beating up on the Ravens. I don't feel good about going into that game the way the Steelers were dominated the last time that they were in Baltimore, about winning that compared to a Houston team that's on the downside this season and seems to be falling apart with C.J. Stroud in that offense with Bobby Slowick really finding a sophomore slump. I would play them regardless of what happens in that game.
By the way, the Chargers, in all likelihood, will win that game.
Yeah, they'll play, what, the Raiders?
They play at the Raiders, and that's another team that, you know, is probably best suited to actually lose games at this point to benefit their draft outlook. So the Chargers probably win. The thing for the Steelers is you're not going to know for sure because the Steelers playing on Saturday, Chargers playing on Sunday. To your point, though, the second you, I don't want to say intentionally lose games, but the second you're hoping for a better path by having a lesser record is when it comes back to blow up in your face. So I don't think that I would say, you know, let's rest our guys and we like the matchup, you know, potentially against Baltimore. You try to win that game. Although if there are guys who are, you know, legitimately questionable that you're putting them at further risk of a, you know, exacerbating an injury, those are the guys you probably hold out or certainly try to limit. But other than that, I don't think you're resting guys just for the sake of, you know, saying this game doesn't really matter that much because we feel confident going against the Ravens.
Well, and here's the thing too, Sean, like they need to get right. They've lost the last three games by double digits. And at times in the second half, they weren't competitive against Philadelphia in the fourth quarter, mainly because Philadelphia was running it down their throat for the last 10 and a half. The pick six by Russell Wilson crushed them in the Baltimore game. And the second half against Kansas City was non-competitive to the point where the fans were leaving early. And Mike Tomlin was asked about it and said, well, I was paying attention to the game. I wasn't really looking around at the fans. The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's hear from you. Let's start with Vincent in Columbus. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, man. I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said in terms of playing everybody because you don't want to go into the playoffs on a four-game losing streak, especially with the quarterbacks you're playing. Like, imagine going into the playoffs knowing you got sliced up by Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Hurts. Like, that's not a good omen to play C.J. Stroud. So I think that's a big reason getting right. And then you also don't want to give the Bengals life in the playoffs either. That's another thing people aren't talking about.
And I think, well, obviously, Vincent, they do need some help because Miami currently is ahead of them. So they need Miami to lose. And I'm surprised Miami beat Cleveland the way that they did. That just shows how bad Cleveland is. And now Cleveland has to go on the road against Baltimore. I give it a 1% chance that Baltimore loses.
You don't want to give it any chance is what I'm saying. Like, you want to end their season right then and there Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that. Like, why not just stomp on the Bengals again for another game? But I am concerned with the Steelers secondary a little bit, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. Like, is Joey Porter going to be ready? Communication. The fact that there are communication issues, Vincent, right now, yeah. Week 17, Week 18, that partly falls on coaching. It really does.
It does to me. I think they need to put Minka back just deep safety. As much as people were complaining about him not making plays, it's just better with him back there and then put Beanie Bishop back.
It's just, it's wild to me, and I appreciate the call. I would not want to sit anybody in this game if they can't play. And I know that's been a huge conversation over the last couple weeks. You want to make sure you're fully healthy going into the playoffs. Yes, but in the same token, you want to make sure that you have a little bit of positivity, a little bit of momentum going into the playoffs. You want to feel a little bit better that you can get the sour taste out of your mouth where there's arguing in the locker room. There are problems right now on the Steelers defense. To mean, we can beg the question, are there more issues on the Steelers defense than there are on the Steelers offense? And we know the problems with the offensive line right now. We know the issues about not having a number two wide receiver, and Mike Williams has basically been invisible outside of a couple of catches in the one play that he made against Washington. I would argue that the Steelers' defense right now is in a worse spot than the offense is because of communication issues that should not be a thing right now. They're playing the wrong guy in Cam Sutton, and who was suspended for the first 8 games, who Mike Tomlin just gave the keys to. Here you go, Cam. You're familiar with our defensive system. We know what you're capable of. Well, he didn't play very well. They won't put him at outside corner where James Pierre and Corey Trice have played at outside corner. I like Trice. Don't think James Pierre.